Good afternoon and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Jan.
We have a couple of announcements before we get started.
Well, excellent.
First one is a 4-week at-home yoga for Africa series starting May 17th will offer gentle yoga grounded in awareness practice. A new virtual 20-minute practice will be added available each week and can be downloaded at any time for the practitioner's convenience. The offering is by donation, and all proceeds benefit Living Compassion in Cantalamba.
Whoa.
Sounds like a win-win.
Yeah, I guess so.
So excited.
Wow. Yeah.
And I do know, I've seen the description on the website, that the person who is offering the yoga, there's a note on there that for folks who have done these sorts of things before, maybe you did virtual yoga during the New Year's retreat or you've done one of these offerings before, these are all going to be brand new sessions. So these are going to be additions to our yoga libraries.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
That is an extra added attraction.
Exactly. And, of course, Summer of Sangha is starting soon. Our spiritual home at 4-Acre Zen Center in gorgeous Squim, Washington, as we speak, absolutely breathtaking.
It is. What about it?
Hosting week-long and weekend retreats in July and August, offering, again, yoga, meditation, guidance, and workshops. And in addition, it will be possible to accept the precepts with this practice during the summer offerings. And only a few slots are left, so sign up right away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was funny. It seemed like there were lots, and then suddenly, not so much. Yeah, so that's good.
Yeah. And for these and other practice opportunities, visit livingcompassion.org. So, in addition to the usual opportunity to call in and talk about what you're seeing in your practice, today is also an opportunity for folks to talk about what they may have seen in the invitation that went out to all of Sangha, inviting us to look at whether it feels like having a physical in-person mothership of practice is important to folks. Mm-hmm. And then there was a survey that went out after that, and in the survey it mentioned that tonight on Open Air would be an opportunity if people felt conflicted about it or, you know, had extra questions or wanted to explore it more, that they could certainly speak with the guide about that this evening.
Yes, indeed. We are here and ready.
Here and ready. All right. Well, let us take our first caller. First caller, you're not live.
Goodness.
Yes.
Hi. They're very live. Who's this?
Hey, hi, it's Bree in California.
Hey, Bree.
Hi. Well, let me say, I can speak to what Jen is suggesting, but there's something much more difficult I'm dealing with. So is this open air just for the other?
Nope, not a bit, Bree, not a bit.
Whatever's
going on.
Oh, my God. Without going into too many details, because it's pretty horrible, but many of us have read about the torture of a one-year wolf yearling in Daniel, Wyoming, and it's by an individual, and it's all over the media, obviously, and so it has created what I feel is like a collective trauma for those of us who are involving ourselves with it. And personally, I want to say that I cannot get this situation, because there's actually videos of the torture, there's photos, there's an outrage, and I want to do something, and I've started in my own way of signing certain petitions. What, Sherry, I think I might sound like I'm jumping a little bit, but it's related. I also felt like I am not going to be allowed to talk about this here on air. This whole thing about spiritual practice is going to disappoint me. This is too dark. So there was that going on. So
Because, you know, Bree, we only ever talk about really positive, uplifting things, which is why so many people in the world are drawn to an organization like ours. So go ahead.
Yeah. And thank you. Thank you for saying that. I know where my mind went was this is so dark. I'm not even going to say the fantasies I've had toward this individual who tortured this wolf. And I've noticed because I'm still in so much anger and grief that right now I can't do as much as my mind wants to do.
Well,
so,
is there more, or is this a good place to jump in?
Yes. Yeah, please.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Okay. So, you know, Bree, the world is a challenging place.
Oh, yeah.
You if you spin a globe around and point your finger somewhere, you could say, oh, shoot. Well, that's a safe place. I wound up in the middle of the ocean until you begin to realize what's being done to the ocean.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So there's not a place in the world where people are not doing horrible things. It's really true. And there's just that. Okay, that. We are capable of doing horrible things. Now,
yes.
One of the things that you alluded to, and I don't know if this is actually where you were going, but I bet there are, if it's all over the internet, then there are God knows how many thousands or hundreds of thousands of people who would like to do to the, I imagine it's a guy. Did you, yeah?
Yes, it
to
is.
To this guy.
A 42-year-old man.
It does tend to be a more a guy thing than a gal thing, although we did just learn about one of the prominent politicians that, it's not just a boy thing. That they want to do to him what he did to that animal.
Yeah.
So we have to ask ourselves, you know, now I could look at him and it would be easy to project a tortured soul. If we wanted to use terms like mental illness, then I could say, I bet he qualifies as mentally ill. He's not okay. He is not a well-adjusted, happy individual. Right? In language that we would never use, but maybe some people would, there's something wrong with him. And yet, we don't see him as any kind of innocent. We see the animal as innocent. Now, if we saw that wolf tear to shreds a human baby, people would want to arm themselves with assault weapons and go out and kill every wolf that they could find. This kind of thing has happened. And so where does that... When we step back from it, what is the net result that we get here? If we are not the people who say that is hideous, first of all, if it's all over the internet, there's one reason for it to be all over the internet. Somebody's making bucks off of it. That's really the only reason, right? So we can just know that too. There, you know, wind up with T-shirts.
But people, it's a horror people are collectively responding to coming together around. Yeah.
Well, maybe. And there's a word for that. It can become a mob. Okay? So the point of it is, yes, it's horrifying, but Bree, you live in a major city.
Yeah.
You could probably throw a rock in any direction and come across a tale, a situation that would be so horrific that you'd never get the images out of your mind. Right? But that's not what we look at. Probably a number of those people who are so horrified and outraged by this eat other creatures.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Without a thought. Because they come wrapped up in a package from the grocery store without a thought. about the horror that farm animals die in.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Okay? So I'm advocating for us all to take a step back from our outrage and our righteous indignation and our horror and take a little responsibility for ourselves. Because I don't know anything about this guy. But again, I'm going to guess that he's suffering. Because you don't do something like that unless you're suffering. You just don't.
It's hard to see, Sherry. It really is.
But Bree, where would you have to be to do something like that?
Oh, forget it. Yeah.
That's right. You would have to be somebody that you don't even know, that you couldn't even recognize as yourself. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
So if we get over our, I mean, it's, again, mm-hmm. it's all over the world. You know, now we have to hate Israelis, and now we have to hate the Palestinians, and now we have to hate the Russians. And for God's sake, let's not forget the Chinese. And we have to hate, There's just always, we're so quick to get in an outrage and forget our complicity. Is that the word I'm looking for? There is that Ivanka Trump.
I know what you mean. But I think it's our humanity that is causing a reaction of outrage.
Well, Bree, is it? Because
the compassion I feel for that poor wolf who was tortured.
The wolf, but not the man.
No, I don't have compassion for that man.
That's right.
I don't even
and that's
feel
where,
right.
That's where I would suggest we mm-hmm. lose our humanity.
That's a hard sell to me right now.
Of course it is. It's a hard sell everywhere, Bree. It's why people have been killing people and everything else they can get their hands on for as long as the world has existed.
Okay. Yeah. And I think it's so horrifying, too, because it actually puts in our faces how dark people can go.
And what are we to learn from that?
Mm-hmm.
What are we to learn from that? That we also can be that dark? Well, seems helpful, doesn't it? So, she and he who are without sin could go ahead and cast the first stone.
Mm-hmm.
But when we really stop and look at ourselves and what we're bringing to this, the lack of compassion that we feel. I mean, where you are, where I live, the conversation is constant about homelessness.
Right.
Constant.
Right.
We need to get rid of these people. We need to do something about them. Somebody needs to do something about them. Mm. Why? Because we don't know them. Because they're living on the street and they don't look very clean. Have you ever been downtown in a city and tried to find a place to go to the bathroom? Now, if you want to go to the store and buy something, you can use the bathroom. But if you don't, you're out of luck. So now you don't have a house, you don't have a bathroom, and you're living on the street. How clean are you going to be? How tidy are you going to be? We forget that everybody is up against the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And the people that I really, really question are the ones who want to spread it all over the internet and work people up into this kind of frenzy. You know, in situations where this kind of frenzy, it's happening in our country right now, right, where people's lives are now in danger because they belong to a certain group.
Yeah.
And
right.
that group is identified as the enemy. A minute ago, they were our neighbors. They belonged to the same whatevers as us, right? We'd say hi in the grocery store. And now people are ready to kill them. We got to take a step back and question our our humanity and our compassion, and where the real problems in the world lie.
Well, first, I'm going to say I'm extremely very happy I was able to talk about
me
this
too.
Because
me
it
too,
has
Greg.
Been
me
a
too.
Terribly
it's really,
hard
it's important.
2 weeks.
Yes,
it's real.
Important.
It's real life, and
yes.
Spiritual practice can get the reputation of you can just go so far, talk about just so much, and that was the feeling I was concerned about. But I really felt it was almost like testing you or the practice. Come on,
well,
talk
yes,
about
this.
It.
This happened, Bree, once before. Somebody said, I don't know what we were doing, probably on open air or something, and she said, why does this sangha never talk about sex?
Uh-huh.
Well, because nobody ever asks.
Good one. Yeah.
I'm not going to force you to talk about sex if you don't want to. But if you want to, let's talk about sex. So then we have an email class, and then we have this, and then we have, you know. So, if people want to talk about dark,
Thank you. I'm happy to talk about dark. Thank
you,
Sherry.
Yeah.
Thank you. And I'm going to end with one thing I wasn't sure. It's just appropriate to say, which you're going to – well, so I did call. I made some phone calls, and I was at night here, and they are on a different time. I never expected to get a person pick up. I think it was the sheriff's office in this county or something. And this woman answered, and I was so – first of all, I was so taken by surprise. And I said, I'm calling about the Cody Roberts situation, and I need to talk and give my opinion. You know, I want to talk about, well, what it, this woman was so kind to me, so helpful. I was almost stunned to respond because I expected to be met with anger and justification, which some people in that town are doing, a lot are. And it totally took me off guard. And that I have, you know, trust me, that has left me with a lot to think about and deal process also. And I have.
Yeah. It's always so good to remember that behind, if we're dealing with people, there's always a human being there as much as difficult as it is to recognize us sometimes. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Sherry. Well, thank you, Bree. And
okay.
A little, if I may, a little, just a little encouragement. You've seen it now. You don't have to keep seeing it. It's not going to help to keep looking at it. You got it. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks. Bye. Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Bree. There was so much in that conversation, Sherry. Wow. I mean, the main thing for me is it's truly, to me, it underscores how there, it's all practice. I mean, truly.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. That there's nothing outside of practice.
There's nothing outside.
Because what we're trying to do is bring conscious, compassionate awareness to everything in life.
Yeah.
Starting with us and moving out from there. And we can, there's ample evidence of what happens when conscious, compassionate awareness is missing. And almost nobody has it in their life. In fact, most people have quite the opposite.
All right, well, we are going to take a break for good news, and then we'll be back after that.
All right, thank you.
And let's bring our good news caller live. Are you there?
Yes, hi, Jen.
Excellent. Hi, Jen. I'm pleased to be joined with Jen, who's here to, speaking of yoga, who is here to speak with us about her experience of offering yoga to Sangha. Welcome.
Yeah, thanks. I'm glad to be here.
Just in time for another fabulous offering that we just announced.
Yes, very exciting. Yeah, I was actually, it was reflecting on what fun timing it was with the assignment that, you know, if people are interested, part of our doing five things that take care of us, right, could be signing up for this offering if you're interested in doing that. But what a nice way to use our body for doing good, to take care of the body. So yeah.
Amen. Yeah. So, yeah, please tell us, where would you like to start?
Yeah, oh gosh, so many places. Well, I was just reflecting on lots of things, I guess, but, you know, one place just for, I think, really looking at my own practice of yoga, I always get to this place of offering, you know, being clear that offering the yoga is my own practice, like we talk about with everything. You know, it's always my own opportunity to work out my own salvation and all of those things. And so I was looking at that and just what to me, you know, we use the word refuge a lot, right? And that came in for me today when I was looking at being able to talk about it tonight, that yoga feels like a refuge in anything that gets us into the body and out of the head for me has been such a powerful place of, well, I think what was being talked about, you know, a place to find that conscious, compassionate awareness. And yoga, you know, was my first entree into all of that, to get into the body and get out of the head and find a kindness and a compassion and an ability to direct the attention to sit down and to breathe. And so I just have such a love for that practice for that reason, and love that we get to do it together.
Yeah, amen to all of that, Jen. And I will say, I mean, I'm someone, it took me forever to have an established yoga practice. I mean, just, I wanted to, you know, right from the start of training at the monastery, I could see, even really before, actually, I could see the benefit of it. But it was really through having, on retreat, we would always have yoga as part of the retreat. And it was, there's something for me about, because I really resonate with what you just said about how getting into the body is such a huge benefit for practice, because getting out of the head, I mean, we're constantly in our heads, and in our head is where the suffering happens. So mm-hmm. getting into the body in any way is so key. And there are lots of ways out there to, quote, get into the body that aren't so much get into the body, where the focus is on, you know, losing weight or getting in shape or, you know, whatever it is that can so easily sort mm-hmm. of back into, you know, that place of conditioned mind. But for me, something that's been so amazing about what you've offered and yoga teachers in Sangha have offered is the grounded in our practice. I think that's so
cool. Yeah. Yeah. That's such a good point, that there's all kinds of flavors of things. Yeah, for sure. And that's my experience of it too. And it's really fun it's such a great practice place to practice getting out of the way, you know, and just see like what life wants to offer and, you know, to practice with, I don't know, right? I don't think up whatever, but like something will come through, and I project that with all the lovely yoga offerings that we've had through the years from so many amazing people, that there's just a, you know, letting this practice guide us and just kind of seeing what comes, which is such a special thing to have this way of being in the body and being with the breath, and it's grounded in our practice. Exactly.
Well, and that really speaks to what you started with, is how it is your practice to offer it, because you get that opportunity. You're essentially describing facilitation, right? You get to just sit down on your own yoga mat, see what arises, and offer that to Sangha.
Yeah, yeah. And practice dropping all the conversation and things that would want to try to block it, and, you know, just like we do with everything. Yeah, exactly, exactly. Yeah, yeah.
As you were saying that, I was thinking so many examples were coming back to me over the years of stirring in Shima. There was this great, that's still part of my regular yoga practice. There was a yeah. movement you did that was mimicking what the folks do in Cantalombo when they're making those huge, giant pots of Enshima, and just all these different things and themes that will often be brought in. You started one, you know, just today. Oh, you know, this is such perfect timing. We're doing five things for the body. What a good time to, you know, re-up our commitment to our yoga practice, you know. And so those sorts of themes that come into the yoga sessions are really lovely also.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I feel that too. But it, like I said, in that way of like, I realize it has nothing to do with me. And again, I project for other folks who beautifully offer yoga. It's just such a fun, like, life will have an idea, you know. So to just practice like seeing where life wants to go with things, it's really, yeah, it's really a fun practice. one thing that happened sometimes during Summer of Sangha would be there'd be a practice everywhere reminder that would come through, you know, right around the time of yoga. And it would just so beautifully kind of guide us to a place to begin with the breath or to check in with the body. You know, those are such, I think, a similar place of like life offering a prompt, you know, come back, get out of the head, get back into the moment, get into the body, right? And to have all of those ways that we can do that. Yeah.
And, you know, it occurs to me, Jen, with these, so they're going to be 20-minute yogas, which is actually, I love that. Because to me, 20 minutes allows me to settle in and really, you know, be there and feel the benefit without having it be a whole long span of time if I don't have that much time. And also,
yeah,
if I have a long span of time, I'll often do two of them.
Yeah.
But one of the things I was going to say that I love about that is my understanding is that one of the ways traditionally yoga was a benefit in practice in general, in many different traditions, is as a way to settle before sitting meditation. So having these downloadable seems so lovely because then that would be one way people could use them, is to have a yoga session and then meditate.
Exactly, exactly, yeah. I had so much fun with that too, that it just dropped in the like 20 minutes. This is, you know, this is just really a fun way to, yeah, you know, a person can likely fit that in with whatever else is going on. It's been a fun, you know, practice as I've been here training in SQIM, seeing, I think this happens for a lot of yoga teachers, that my own practice has become sometimes more about teaching a lot of classes for other people and not having my own kind of space on the mat, which is a different thing to me. And so I've been getting back to that and noticing that a lot of times, yeah, about that 20 minutes is great. You know, I mean, it's fabulous if I have an hour or longer and I can get those practices too, but that's sort of a doable thing. It feels like that works in all the other things that we have going in life. And then, yes, I love what you're saying, Jen. I was remembering, I think the guide saying at one point something about, you know, we want to do all that we can to help our bodies, to help our, you know, to help our well-being. I mean, it's kind of the assignment of this week too, like training, you know, training ourselves to be in that best place possible to enjoy life. And to me, that's so what yoga is, like you said, to be ready to be able to sit, to help the body with all the place, you know, everything that we encounter, the pain and the discomfort and the stiffness because we're probably all sitting too long in our, you know, whatever it is in our days, and then to be able to help our bodies with all the challenges that we each, you know, are up against, but help our bodies feel as good as possible so that, yes, we can enjoy our sitting practice and we can enjoy participating. You know, that was a lot of what brought me to yoga initially, was a lot of back pain. And, you know, I know we don't have control, and it's been such a blessing to have that tool of yoga that will help my, I know that I can go to the mat and I can breathe, I can get curious about what's going on, I can try some things, you know, I have some tools to be able to assist myself when those things come up, so I can sit and I can do the things that are important to me in my life and help myself do that, yeah.
You know, just one other thing, Jen, that you remind me of as you say all of that is what a blessing yoga has been for me over the years in getting to know my body, this body. And
yeah,
so there are, I mean, truly, it feels miraculous sometimes where I can feel, you know, a sinus thing or a something and literally be able to stop and do yoga and feel it, almost intuit how to help it move through. So for me, yoga is an integral part of every single day of staying well, for sure. Yeah, very
totally.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And of course, as you started us off, you know, it just seems so fun to me that this is to benefit our fabulous folks, yeah, in Cantalumba. So I think we look at this and it's just such a fun, it just feels like win, win, win in every direction is always what I see with these, all these beautiful offerings that we have for Cantalumba. It's like, do something to help ourselves feel as good as possible and breathe and relax and take care. And by the way, it's going to support our friends in Cantalumba. Like, what a great, you know, how can you go wrong? What's not to love with that? So it's fun.
Amen. Amen. And much gratitude for you for offering it and for being with us today to talk about it.
Yeah, thank you so much. Great to be here. Thanks. Gosho.
Gosho. And welcome back to Open Air.
Well, that was fun.
Very fun. Really.
Many good points made there.
Yeah. I mean, truly, Sherry, it's one of the things every single day I marvel at. Like, wow, I do yoga every day. That's just miraculous. I mean, meditation, maybe just because it was such a part of everyday schedule, that was somewhat easier for me to establish. And as a, you know, a toothbrushing opportunity at this point, I don't debate it. But to be able to do yoga every day, it truly does keep me well. So I always am excited when
Yeah, and I really appreciate the point that Jen made. Well, I guess you made it too, but the Jens made about the 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And your point, you can do two 20 minutes if you have more time, but it's harder. It's like when we talk with people about sitting, you know, well, if 30 minutes is just not possible and you just keep getting talked out of it, we'll sit for 15 or sit for 20 or 5. But the main thing is to do it and then begin to move in that direction of, oh, this isn't something I should do. This is something I want to do. I'd love to do this. I'm going to make sure I get this in.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And as Jen said, what's not to love about supporting Cantalumba? So
yeah, exactly.
Oh,
Jen, I just want to mention that you are very soft for me.
I am.
Yeah, I can hear you, but I it's one of those turn it up, turn it down, turn it up, turn it down moments.
Is this any better right now, Sherry?
Not a bit.
Not a bit. Interesting. All right, well, let's take our next caller, and I'll see what I can do.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Next caller, you're now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hi, Jen. Hi, Sherry. It's Todd calling from Gabriel Island.
Well, hello, Todd. What are you seeing?
Hi. I would love to continue to explore the recent email you sent generously to Sangha to consider if a physical spiritual home is something collectively as a group is something that we still want to pursue.
Mm-hmm.
And for myself, it was really great because I had been looking at my physical participation at the monastery or the Zen center, and through the couple decades in this practice, I have spent a lot of time at the mothership, and
mm-hmm.
and went to great effort and at time's expense to make it, coming from Canada and coming even from Western Canada, farther over from where I am now. And then, you know, the California Monastery was a different situation than the current Zen Center because it was a residency monastery. It was it offered monastic practice, which I participated a lot in. I went to a lot of visiting months and many retreats. And then, you know, there was that shift. We changed locations and came to Washington State, and then I changed locations from Alberta into British Columbia, central British Columbia, which was even closer to the monastery and or even closer to the West Coast. And now I've moved again, and I'm really two ferries away from Squim, which is quite amazing. And I haven't been there yet,
which is perhaps even more amazing, huh?
I'm stunned. I had a big transition, and I had great support from Sangha and from yourself and Ashwini and Jen when I transitioned from the central British Columbia to the coast when I lost my home. We're talking about homeless. Yeah, I'm currently homeless because I'm living in a trailer. But maybe that is a home, so I'm not living on the street. But I do appreciate you addressing that because I could be on the street. We don't know.
Yeah.
Right?
That's right. Right. Oh, exactly, Todd. That's my point. That very honorable, decent, good, hardworking people can wind up living on the street because they got sick and somebody wanted their house or whatever it was. Yeah.
Right. That's what happened to me. I lived on I think you heard, a 3-acre berry farm, and the main homeowners wanted my little guest house for their family because they got pushed out because of the fires. So, you know, so I'm in this big transition. So in the fall, There was going to be, I think, some, and it's really good, you know, communicate, don't suffer. So I'd like to clarify a few things, because in the fall when I was transitioning, I did have access to this RV, which was self-sufficient in the sense of it was accommodations and it was housing and meals included, which the Zen Center and Swim don't offer. And so I made a presentation when there was going to be some October visits to come and visit, and was accepted to that initially. So I was excited about that when I was transitioning from my central location. And then the Squim Zen Center made a decision not to hold those late fall visits. And so that changed my plans of a visit to now. So that's kind of where I am.
Yeah, and Todd, just for anybody who's wondering about that, so last year, of course, we were in a tent.
Yes.
And yeah.
I can relate.
And so by the time October came around, we realized, ooh, this is not good. If we had a building with walls and a roof, that would be one thing. But in a tent, not such a good idea. And so that's why. We got to that point and looking at the weather and realizing, no, that's not going to work. We had really hoped that through October would be a time that people
right.
could come and visit, but
yes,
it wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and so I think there's a couple things that have come up for me, and maybe you can shed a greater perspective for me, is I think because the Zen Monastery Peace Center in California was an all-inclusive, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
it was pretty convenient. Sort of like going to your resort where you get your meals and your entertainment and your drinks all included.
So and you know what? We can add something to that, Todd. It was free.
There you go. It was free. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Which is about the best all-inclusive anybody could ever ask for. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you for that.
Because, Todd, of course, the reason for that is that we had that huge place. It was completely paid for.
Right.
We had, as you know, a commercial kitchen. You cooked many a meal in it.
Mm-hmm.
Places, we could have people there, and it didn't cost us anything.
Yes.
And so it was very easy to do that, as compared to here,
right.
where, of course, we don't. Now, it doesn't mean that isn't part of the question that we're asking,
right.
But it really would have to be mutually beneficial in that sense. Because like right now, I'm sitting looking at this beautiful piece of property, but there's nothing on it.
Of course.
And so that makes it really hard to have people here.
Sure.
Especially, people struggled at the monastery. Somebody reminded me the other day, she said, after the letter went out, she said, I remember how much work we put into getting those hermitages all spiffed up, and people still didn't come, which was true.
I it was really great when I communicated in the fall, because I was under a false impression that it was becoming a monastery, the Squim,
yes.
4 Acres Zen Center, and I was compassionately guided of, no, that's not where we are.
We're
right
not
now.
Doing that.
We don't foresee that in the near future. So
that's
adjust
right.
your plans accordingly. And I went, I totally thought it was going to be a monastery. And I was told, no, it's a Zen center, which is totally different. Because
and not a residential.
Exactly.
Not a residential Zen center, yeah.
Yeah, good point. And not even a residential Zen center. So I appreciate that there's no infrastructure to house and feed attendees, right?
That's right.
So the logistics now is so I don't really have transportation. So I got to get down there, and then I have to see. Is this? Tell me if I'm seeing this correctly. I would have to get transportation there, which I've always had to do, so that's not an issue. But then I would have to seek my own private accommodations and my own food. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Oh, good. So that's the logistics I haven't really been able to get my head around yet, because I haven't done
it. Yeah,
any
so of. It would be, say, if you decided you wanted to go to the Zen Center of Monte Vista.
Yes.
I don't know if there is a Zen Center in Monte Vista or even if there's a Monte Vista, but I was reaching for it there, Todd. And so you decided that you wanted to go there and you wanted to practice with them. You wanted to go there on a retreat.
Yeah.
And so you would go there and you would find a place to stay and you would, you would take care of yourself. And then you would go during the day and and participate all day long. And then you would go back to your place. And the thing that we have really enjoyed about it, and people who were here last year seem to enjoy about it, is that it's really this very interesting hybrid.
Yes.
So as you remember, when you came through the gate of the monastery, somebody was there with their hand out saying, give me your cell phone, give me your computer, give me your whatever else you contraband you have hidden away. And that's right. And then and that was it, right? But here, when you leave the property, you've got all those things. So now it's really up to you. You know, like when we did the New Year's retreat, we encouraged people if they could, do it. Find a place away from their family, away from their friends, you know, go to a motel or whatever, and really go on retreat for that period of time.
Yeah.
And so it's that way. You know, you get to see in a whole different way what the voices try to talk you into, what you fall for.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. Well, I've got the survey. I'm still seeking, still looking for clarity within myself as a participant in this practice of, is it important to me that we have a physical spiritual home? Is it important to me? I don't know. I feel through the pandemic and I feel through all the virtual and all the stewardships that I'm able to do virtually as well, I feel pretty supported, but I don't know if that's ego saying that's enough. You know, I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's going to use practice against me.
That's right. And it is interesting. So we have a local sitting group here now. It's interesting. We have way more people sitting with us regularly here in Sequim than we did when we were in Mountain View. Somebody was talking about that and how different it is to be in the room with, you know, to be practicing together in person. And so there definitely is that element to it, and that's what people are going to ultimately need to sort out for themselves.
I did over a dozen three-day driving trips from Alberta to draw to have that in-person experience, so I know how important it was to me then. I just don't know how important it's to me now that I'm two ferries away, probably a 2-hour travel trip. You know, isn't that insane?
Yeah.
Here I was doing three, you know.
Well,
three
you
days.
Better be careful. We're going to come and see you, okay?
you're
on an island in the beautiful British Columbia. Be careful.
I do, and I'm on 5 acres assisting a person building a retirement home. So, I've got 5 acres. Maybe I can make it a 5 acres Zen Center from the 4 acres Zen Center, Canadian.
That's right.
Anyway, Sherry.
Let's talk.
Okay, let's chat. Anyway, thank you for the email. I really appreciate it. I love the transparency about where we're going as a community. I've been a part of this for a couple decades now, so I'm a bit invested.
Me too.
And you too. You've only been doing, 55 decades now? So not that it's competition. But thank you for that. And I want to just spend the next couple days with this conversation, looking at it more. And then I want to complete the survey so I can be a part of the conversation.
Excellent. Excellent. Thank you so much, Todd.
Okay, sure.
Appreciate
it. Thank you, sure.
Okay.
Thanks, Jen.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night. Hang on one sec. Wow. Good night. 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 That was fun. Jen?
Jen? Okay, so that was my attempt to make myself louder. So first time I made myself double, and then I muted both times. So, all right, I think we'll let the callers talk then. How about that?
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
All right, here we go. We have plenty of callers. We might have to extend this topic. Here we go. Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hello. This is Andrea calling.
Hello, Andrea.
Hi.
What are you seeing?
Well, I'm not really calling about, I have some heavy content going on, and that's what I'm calling about, if that's okay to talk about.
Oh, it's perfectly okay. We've had dark, we've had transition, and now we have heavy. So I think we're in good shape here.
Okay, great. Thank you. Well, what I'm looking at is it's a long-running issue that I've been dealing with my son. He's been going through a lot of mental health issues, and so yesterday, I suspected that something's gotten worse, and he came clean yesterday to us that he has been doing obsessive-compulsive behavior for 5 months and has been barely able to function. And it involves his phone and his computer. And, well, I've been struggling with this for 4 years, since the pandemic. And I have a lot of different feelings, and I find it really hard to talk to him because in the past, we had a pretty bad, rocky relationship for a while because I felt very, very scared and panicked, and there were teachers involved, and it was just really, I was not acting in a compassionate way. And what I ended up doing was, I've been working on myself. It's been really, really hard. And I have just been not really communicating much with him because I kind of like what we've been talking about this week, which is, you know, not having the conversation with someone if you can't really say anything helpful and compassionate. And I'm feeling very awkward, and I really don't know how to talk to him. And I feel like I'm dealing with a heroin addict, because to me, he says it's OCD. I feel like I don't know what it is, but my feeling is that I'm dealing with a drug addict because he's either addicted to his compulsion and screens or both. And he acts like a zombie, and the sweet son who used to be really talkative, who I could easily talk to and relate to, is no longer there. It's a zombie.
And how old is he now?
He just turned 18 in January, and he's not in school. We took him out because he couldn't do it. He should be graduating this May, but it wasn't working out. And so that's the situation. He's a young adult now, and he is going to therapy, which he initiated after being very, very resistant to that. I feel very sad because I'm doing the practice, and, you know, I wish it could benefit him, but he doesn't seem drawn to it. And I feel like I'm not really equipped to handle all of this.
But let me ask you this. He's in therapy. Is he in therapy by himself? Not you, not his father, not anybody else?
Yes, he is in therapy by himself. That's correct. And we're not.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. And does it appeal to you at all to do any kind of family sort of thing, or to try to get at least the two of you and hopefully the three of you sort of going in a direction?
You know, that's what's dropped in the last week, actually, is to find someone to do that.
Yes. Yes. Because otherwise, you know, you're isn't the expression silos? You're each in your own world dealing with this in your own way, but not together. And that just doesn't seem to be working.
Yeah. And I'm surprised, you know, I've had all these pseudo Zen stories that, you know, that that therapy and the practice aren't compatible. And so,
well, yeah. they aren't compatible for you.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
I'm not sure what you mean.
Okay. So my teacher used to say that he wouldn't work with anyone who was in therapy because he said, you know, I'm attempting to assist somebody to drop the ego, and then they go to the therapist who's going to help them put it together.
Right.
So that is not. But this is that's not what the situation is. This is this young man who you are in relationship with and don't know how to be in relationship with. And so being isolated from one another doesn't seem like a good direction. So you bring in a third party, well, a fourth party, in case his father wants to be involved, who can address all of you, not just him, not just you, not just his father, but all of you.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like it would be helpful.
All right. Well, that's interesting to know, because I was thinking along those lines. I mean, I guess the other thing is that I feel like he needs more help than he's getting, because I feel like he needs some sort of treatment for addiction, and possibly he may need to be on anti-anxiety medication to help him get over this terrible, he's full of terrible sensations and anxiety. I don't know if I should or not, if I should say anything, or if my feelings
are correct.
Well,
that's why it would probably be helpful to either be talking to a mental health professional or a medical person or someone who could hear you and him and offer a perspective.
Right.
Doesn't mean you have to do it. Doesn't mean he'll say yes. Doesn't mean you'll like it. But at least I'll just say the two of you, because you're not dragging his father into this, so I'm not going to. But it the two of you at least would be on some kind of track together. And then if nothing else, there would be some communication between the two of you.
Yeah.
Even if it's brokered. Somebody who requires you to talk to each other or hear each other.
Yeah, because you know what, Sherry, I've just been keeping it all in. I've been trying to do the two-handed recording, and you know, I have so much anxiety and worry about him, and I don't want to say something like, I'm really worried about you, because I can imagine if that was me and my parents said it, boy, would I be resentful.
Yeah. And also, of course, you're wise enough to know you don't need to make this about you.
Exactly.
You've got to deal with what your stuff is, but he it sounds like needs some support in dealing with his stuff. It's fascinating to me. It's endlessly fascinating to me what people think awareness practice is, and how people get talked into, you know, you can't bring this up, or awareness practice isn't going to, you know, the practice isn't going to like that, or you can't talk, you know. It's just fascinating to me, because we just never say that.
Well, that is, I'm so glad I brought it up, because I really, yeah, I mean, there was a part of me that it dropped in that that's what we need to do, but I felt like, am I antithetical to practice? But I'm so glad I shared it with you, because...
There you go. And I hope the floodgate is opening all over the world, with people are going to say, okay, this is what I'm not talking about, because the voices are saying you can't talk about that in practice. It's so funny. I look at this often, as a matter of fact, how people will bring these little isolated things to awareness practice, and then their whole life happens without a word, right? They're just going off doing whatever and making decisions, and several times in the last whatever period of time, somebody has confessed that what they don't want to bring anything to guidance, because in what they've been told in their head is, practice will tell me what to do, and I won't want to do it. And that's not what guidance is. Guidance is usually being asked a lot of questions about things, and then often some suggestion for, well, that could be a place to look, or have you tried that, or maybe see what happens with that, and then the person goes and looks at that, does that, and right? It's kind of like having a live two-handed recording.
Oh, I love that. I love that analogy.
Yeah. Yeah, because otherwise, you know, ego just wants to talk us into being out there on our own and left with really big, difficult life issues, and you can't talk about it.
Yeah, and I've also, the other thing is I've been wondering if I could actually write in and get support, you know, like additional support. I don't know if that's possible, but I haven't done that either. And
trust me, it's possible.
Oh, okay. Because this has just been really hard for me to deal with, and I'm getting really emotional right now, but it's been really tough. So thank you.
Oh, it's awful. It's your child, for God's sake.
Yeah.
Yeah. It doesn't get any harder than that.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And especially when the voices can drag us into how much of it is my fault, right? There's what my child mm-hmm. is going through, and then how much of it is on me, and it can get very ugly very quickly.
Oh, well, the voices in my head, the self-hate basically says I should have never had a child because of all the genetic depression and anxiety in my family. That's what they tell me. They're really
well.
Hateful. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. And I just got a text message saying that we're going to offer a workshop on what are the topics, what have you not brought to practice? What are you being told can't be a part of your awareness practice? Now that should be fun, huh?
Yes. Well, thank you so much, Jerry. I'm
you
so
are so welcome. Keep us posted and let us know what we can do to support.
Okay, thank you.
You are welcome. Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Andrea. Sherry, we have 3 minutes to the top of the hour. Would you like to
take I know. I'll go 2 minutes over if somebody else wants to go with us.
Okay, well, let's see if we have a taker. Here we go. Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Christina, and this is perfect because I'll be quick.
Okay, you don't need to be. We have a rock and stomp in 5 or 6 minutes. What's going on?
Well, this is so great because I just made a commitment to myself last week after our conversation during the morning show where I'm looking at meeting my soft deadlines at work and reaching out for support. And so I made a commitment to myself to call in every week to this show. And I got on, and you know, I'm just starting a new soft deadline. I started on Monday, and so far so good with my, you know, checking in by setting my alarms. The thing that I've noticed with it is that it really does bring me out of my head and into my body. So
yeah.
In the past, there's been this habit sometimes when my alarms go off, where I just, like, look at the message that's on there and I think about it and then I'm done. But now with this practice, I've been, you know, stopping the alarm, standing up out of my chair, sometimes, you know, taking a quick walk, jumping jacks, whatever it takes, just wiggling the booty, like, you know, whatever I have to do to get into the body. And so I can actually see where I'm at and then just sit myself back down. And, you know, it's just so
Christina, one thing that you might also add to that little what now, life?
Yeah.
You know, just to see if life has any words of encouragement or support or, you know, kind of what do I need to remember? What would be good for me to realize right now?
Yeah, I've been taking a really that is beautiful, and I've been taking a really spiritual approach to my work, in the sense that just getting really clear that it's not about me at all. I mean, it's obviously not about me, but that it's not on me, and you know, and that I and so the what now life is so perfect for that, because it is, it does help me identify with what is, as opposed to, you know, Christina trying to get a job done.
That's right. Make me an instrument of, right?
Yeah.
Of your love, of your peace, of your, and to remember that I'm here in service. What now? How can I? What do I need to remember? You know, it might be as simple as love, your love. Okay, here we go. Fill that line out.
Well, and so now the trick is to keep it going.
Oh, it is. It absolutely is. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so. Yeah, it absolutely is. Yeah.
I'll be reading.
So, yes, exactly. And send me a note about that when you have a minute.
What do you mean?
Okay. Hmm?
Okay. What do you mean? Yeah, a note about?
Remembering.
Ah, okay. Okay, I will.
Okay. All right.
Yes.
Good.
Thank
Don't
you.
Forget.
I won't forget. I'll try not to forget to remember.
All right. Thanks, Christina.
Thank you. Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Christina. I just had an
interview. She really was quick.
She was quick. She was right on time. Deadlines, right? Meeting deadlines.
Yeah, deadlines. Yeah. I wonder if this was a soft or a hard deadline. I don't. But anyway, either way, she was very successful. So that's
very
good.
Successful. And I love that thing of, you know, stopping to get into the body. And I just had this image of, so you get one of the yoga videos that's being offered to us, and you press play, and you do one pose, and then you press pause, go back to your thing, and then do the next pose.
That's funny. We have to, I know Jen is listening. That would be a fabulous, in quotes, product.
Oh, it really would, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. For all those busy people at computers in offices and all of that. Mm-hmm. Kind of like the old 1 minute yoga only. Yeah.
And then you just press pause and there's an encouragement, right? Okay, now off to your task. Bring the, you're counting the
That's right.
Transition.
That's right. Yeah, don't forget to be kind to you.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
And what a fabulous show, Sherry. Thank you for all of it, and thank you to all of our callers.
Well, and thank you, and thank Jen, and Jen.
And Jen.
And Jen. All right. Thanks, Jen. Good night.
Happy good night.